Last time I spoke about the emotional roller coaster I've been on since a pair of great blue herons started nesting in full view of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Nest Cam. I've been learning so much that the experience is extremely satisfying intellectually, but I found it impossible to maintain emotional distance from this little family. After owl attacks on three nights, leaving the mother missing some head feathers and one egg dented, and after watching the male sitting faithfully for 22.5 hours straight during a bad snowstorm, I'd not have been surprised if the eggs didn't hatch at all, and certainly expected them to hatch a few days late after the extended cold snap. But no, the first and second both hatched on Friday, April 27th, and the second egg to hatch happened to be the one with the dent. The third hatched on Saturday, and the fourth on Sunday. The birds didn't feed them much over that weekend. I wonder if they were trying to delay maturation of the first to hatch so that the last to hatch wouldn't be as far behind. Everything would have been idyllic except that the owl returned three times that weekend, and I kept collecting more information about how great horned owls kill and eat more adult great blue herons than I'd realized. The male was on the nest for these attacks, but on Sunday night the female was squawking from a branch on the nest tree and then she disappeared. We didn't see her at all Monday morning, even with four hungry chicks. I was pretty sure that if she had been killed or injured, there would have been some noticeable evidence, but no one at the lab reported anything. Hour after hour, the male stuck it out well after his stomach was too empty to regurgitate anything to feed the constantly begging chicks. Finally, in the afternoon, one of my friends at the lab spotted her safe and sound in another area of the pond, and people trained the movable cam on her to show her fishing. When the male finally left the nest, he flew right past her, and she immediately returned and regurgitated a nice big meal for her hungry young. At each point, whether it was the dented egg or the snow or the female's long disappearances, a lot of people in the heron chat room assumed the worst. The fifth egg didn't pip until May 1st, which was exactly right since it was laid 2.5 days after the fourth egg, but people constantly asked why it hadn't hatched yet and was the chick dead. I can usually be pretty calm about how nature works, and I had already been well aware of the many dangers that could suddenly destroy this nest filled with vulnerable chicks and parents. I'd been taught in graduate school to look at birds as populations, not individuals, and it's very true that protecting birds at the population level is what is critical in managing natural resources. But watching the hard-working parents and their five chicks shaped like fuzzy bowling pins pecking away on regurgitated fish, I couldn't see any as expendable. It made me appreciate how much work is involved in creating and sustaining life, even for a bird as common as a heron. This pair of herons has raised a brood of four chicks all the way to fledging each year since 2009. As I was working on this program on May 3rd, a thunderstorm raged over the pond. The female had flattened herself with wings spread a bit to keep the force of the rain and hail on her, not the chicks. Every time lightning filled the sky over the nest and thunder roared, I told myself there have been many, many storms over Ithaca during the past 3 years, and this one would be no different. But when I awakened this morning, I felt a flood of relief to see the birds safe and sound. I'd love to be a Zen-like person, learning from these birds' patience and a wisdom surpassing understanding. Instead, I'm learning how valuable each individual life is and what a triumph every day truly is. Production of today's For the Birds was made possible in part by a generous grant from an anonymous donor. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking For the Birds.